couple of generations ago, certain young Czechs opposed to the communist regime's rewriting of history engaged in the smuggling of books and other materials, determined to thwart official acts of revisionism and the suppression of information. Today, Petr Harmáček, a 26-year-old English teacher from the city of Pilsen, is engaged in a somewhat similar fight, albeit related to American film history. Going by the internet nickname Harmy, he has devoted hundreds of hours to trying to restore the original Star Wars trilogy, namely Star Wars, released in 1977, and its two sequels, The Empire Strikes Back, released in 1980, and Return of the Jedi, released in 1983. The creative force behind these films, George Lucas, began a seemingly endless process of alterations to these iconic films back in 1997. Computer effects were added, and a host of other controversial changes made. All the while, it appeared that the original unaltered films, along with their Academy Award-winning special effects, were destined to be erased from history. Star Wars fans cried foul. Harmy, building on the efforts of countless other devotees of the original movies, set to work as a kind of guerrilla restorationist, tracking down film prints, laserdisc copies, anything he could get his hands on to try to piece together this fading icon of film history. His efforts have been praised by fans and have been covered by publications such as The Atlantic. I sat down with Petr Harmáček for an in-depth discussion of his efforts and began by asking him about the first time he saw Star Wars and the kind of impact the movie had on him.
I was actually thinking about this recently, and I think the first time I saw Star Wars was when it was first on TV here in the Czech Republic, which was in, like, what, 93, 94 or something like that. So I would have been, like, 6 years old.
And it would have been a dubbed version.
Oh, yes, right? Definitely. I haven't seen Star Wars in the original English until the first DVD came out, I think. And that was only the original film. And then I actually saw Return of the Jedi and The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi as the special editions in 97. And I liked the special edition back then because, I was, what, like 10 or something. So for me, it was just the story was what was important. But I had it on VHS, and as I sort of was growing up with those films, I studied those effects, and I really began admiring those effects.
Because some people, like, it wasn't me, I have to admit, but I know a lot of friends and stuff at school and things. It has a sort of, those films have a profound impact because they seem to offer young people a kind of spirituality. I think Lucas did that deliberately, the Japanese sort of story, the mythical, you know, the dark side, the good, and yeah, all that. So did that impact you all, or was it more of a technical sort of marvel for you?
Well, both, I think. Because, like I said, when I first saw the films, I didn't really care about the special effects that much, which is why I didn't mind the special editions. And yeah, it had a huge impact on me. It impacted the way we played with my friends, and, you know, since I was
so you were
six
all fans.
When I,
so you were like with your friends, you all became Star Wars
well,
fans.
Well, some of my friends, yeah.
And was that was a new thing for your particular generation, right? That would have been the first Czech generation.
Yes, definitely. Here in the Czech Republic, the Star Wars films were first shown in 92 in the cinema. Only the first film, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we were definitely the first generation of Czechs to see Star Wars, apart from a select few who had, like, German VHS back in the communist time, but no one really had VHS players back then, so that was very
And, okay, rare. So in 1997, George Lucas, the director of the first film and the sort of creative force of the entire original trilogy, released a revised version, which I suppose was controversial, but the biggest controversy is not that he did that, it's that he won't seem to enable, or that he seems intent on destroying the original film, which I don't think that exists in any other, I don't think there's a comparable example of a director being that determined to do that.
Yes.
So tell me that story.
Yes, exactly. This is what I always say. I'm definitely not against directors making an updated version or their personal edits of films. I love, for example, that there's like five different versions of Blade Runner, and you buy Blade Runner on Blu-ray and they're all there. The same goes for all the Alien movies. all versions are available in the same or comparable quality. George Lucas is the only one that I know of who is pushing the director's cut, you could call it. It's not officially called the director's cut, but that's basically what it is.
So let's explain to someone, to our listeners and readers that wouldn't really have any idea what. So there's a film that he made in 1977, and then in 1997 he went back to it and he put in. Tell me what he did.
Yes, so yeah, he made this film in 77. It won 7 Academy Awards, and then in 97 they went in and they restored the film. That was the first impulse. They wanted to restore the film for a 20-year anniversary re-release, but then they decided to. Basically, I'm quite convinced they decided to test the technology for the upcoming prequel films on these special editions. So they added some CGI characters into the movie, CGI animals. They replaced the old Academy Award winning special effects with new CGI effects, which actually they have very little historical value compared to the original effects. Because the CGI in 97, that was nothing new or special anymore. But those old effects shot with optics and models, those were completely groundbreaking at the time.
So what you're describing would be called an act of aesthetic vandalism.
Yes, I would go that far, definitely. Especially since he seems to be bent on destroying the original.
Well, yes, I have some quotes here that I found from George Lucas. I'm sorry if you saw a half-completed film and fell in love with it. So basically, what Mr. Lucas's viewpoint is that it was a work in progress, it was only 35% complete, and that he, as the auteur, has the absolute right to do whatever he wants with the film, whereas your side would say, look, do what the hell you want with it for the rest of your life, but just don't try and destroy the original.
Exactly, exactly. And the problem is the film is, you know, the actual film material is unstable and it's deteriorating. And unless there's something done soon, it could be lost forever.
Apparently, Mr. Lucas has also refused to provide a print for the National Film Registry. That he's only given them the 1997 version.
Yes.
So this is like quite extreme revisionism. A critic might say that this is almost sort of Orwellian petulance. And he's also, the changes weren't just putting computer-generated imagery into the films. There are also some even more controversial changes to do with characterization. There's a famous who shot first, and there's also a change after the change, which is for this new home video version, is that Darth Vader suddenly screams something he didn't scream. So could you explain these two things?
Yeah, so first, the hand shot first. This is like the mascot scene of the anti-special edition movement, if you could call it that.
Yes, Oscar.
Yes, I bet you have.
Basically, the character of Han Solo, he's a rogue character, especially at the beginning of the original film, and he has the story arc of basically getting to be a more compassionate character at the end. But at the beginning, he's a rogue, he's basically a gangster, he's a smuggler. And he's cornered by this bounty hunter, and he just shoots him under the table in cold blood. In the special edition, they added the bounty hunter Greedo shooting first, and only then Han shoots him. Not only does it change the character of Han, and it sort of cheapens the story arc of him getting to be a better character by the end of the film, it's also technically pretty badly done. Because they just gave Han this head jerk to avoid the shot, which is completely unrealistic. So it looks terrible, but mainly it changes the character.
And in the second example, the new Blu-ray release, that wasn't even a Blu-ray release of the 1997 version, or even there was even some changes made for a 2004.
Yep.
So this is an ongoing thing. Yes, the changes
absolutely.
Keep getting more and more infuriating,
yes,
right?
And this is kind of funny. When the 97 special edition first came out, George Lucas says, this is my original vision, this is what I wanted. Then suddenly, in 2004, the DVD came out with even more changes, so where is the original vision from 97? And then in 2011, the Blu-ray came out with even more changes. So this is like the fourth or fifth version already. It's always released in better quality than before, which means the previous version doesn't exist in comparable quality, right. Even the 2004 version. And yes, the changes get worse and worse all the time.
So in Return of the Jedi, he's added Darth Vader screaming, "No."
Yes, so actually in the last prequel film, at the end, when Darth Vader is actually first introduced, when Anakin turns into Darth Vader, he learns from the Emperor that his wife is dead and he screams, "No!" And it's this moment was ridiculed from the beginning. And it almost seems that George Lucas added that "no" to the end of Return of the Jedi to spite the fans who, who criticized that moment in Revenge of the Sith.
In 2010, the subject of Star Wars fans' increasingly love-hate relationship with their idol, the creative force behind these movies, was the subject of a documentary feature film entitled The People vs. George Lucas. Featured in the movie is a clip of George Lucas speaking in 2004, addressing the potential ironies of the Star Wars story as it relates to his own experiences as an independent filmmaker.
I was sort of fighting the corporate system, which I didn't like, and I'm not happy with the fact that corporations have taken over the film industry, but now I found myself being the head of a corporation. So there's a certain irony there, is that I have become the very thing that I was trying to avoid. That is Darth Vader. He becomes the very thing that he's trying to protect himself against.
I asked Petr Harmáček for his take on this documentary film.
It's definitely people are angry about the special editions, but then there are some people who are also angry about the prequels. I personally dislike the prequels, but I'm not angry at all about them because for me, I just don't watch them. No problem. I don't like a movie, I don't watch it. But the problem here is that I like the original films, and they keep, in the special editions, they keep shoving in stuff from the prequels. Uh-huh.
So is there an irony there that in the story of Star Wars is basically a choice between good and evil and the power of the dark side and Darth Vader turning dark and bad? Is that not really...
ironically, in some way, a story about George Lucas himself?
In a way it is, yes, definitely. And I'm still hoping for Return of the Jedi and for him to redeem himself and finally condone releasing the original versions, although he sold all the rights to Disney, so he basically has no say in it anymore.
But he can still block it, though, can he not?
I'm not sure. Nobody really knows what's in those papers they signed.
Well, okay, so let's turn to your specific restoration efforts. Mm-hmm. So basically frustrated by the fact that there's been no official release forthcoming from the people that would release that Lucasfilm or Fox, you've basically decided to grab as many elements as you can and try and collate, like assemble through digital means, a high-definition version of the original. So tell us how you went about doing that.
Actually, I wasn't the first person to get this idea. I was the first person to do it in high-definition. There were people who took the special edition DVDs and then took some Laserdisc transfers and tried to mix them together.
So let's explain that. The only way that people can now get hold of the original film
is
either VHSs or film prints, or there was a very low quality sort of almost a contemptuous release of the originals.
Yes, this is definitely important information. So in 2004, the DVD came out. It was the super special edition with even more changes. And the fans started asking for the original version on DVD. And because they weren't getting it, they were making their own transfers of Laserdisc. I don't know if the listeners are familiar with this format. It was nobody's ever heard of it here in the Czech Republic, and it was pretty obscure in other countries as well.
Basically, giant. It looked like an LP. It's like a DVD that looks like an LP.
Exactly, giant optical disc, but it was actually analog video. It was like VHS, but higher quality and higher resolution, slightly. So it was nearing DVD, but still quite far from it. And so people started doing their own transfers of these laser discs, and they made DVDs from them. And they became quite efficient at it. They made some quite nice-looking discs, considering what else was available, but still definitely not a worthwhile release. It couldn't be a worthwhile release for preservational purposes. So, and then Lucasfilm announced that there would be a DVD with the original version on it. And when they released it, it was actually basically one of those Laserdisc transfers just put on DVD. They used the original Laserdisc masters, so it was slightly better than what fans were able to do with their Laserdiscs, but only a little bit. And I'm quite convinced that this is actually... they just wanted to cash in on the popularity of these Laserdisc transfers because they already had those masters in storage. There was no effort for them involved. And at the same time, they could say, look, this is the original version. Look how ugly it looks because it wasn't restored, obviously.
Right.
And look how great the special edition looks in comparison. Right, which is a completely false comparison, but they did that. They actually had
when you this... say they, you mean Lucasfilm, right?
The company. Yes, I mean Lucasfilm, at the behest of George Lucas himself, I'm sure. But they actually had a page on StarWars.com where they had comparison pictures of the special edition versus the original, and they were taken from those DVDs.
And I found on the internet a rather shocking statement, which cannot be true, but it's one that Lucasfilm issued, saying the negatives of the film were permanently altered for the creation of the special editions, and existing prints are in poor condition. Now, the first part has to be nonsense, because nobody messes with a negative in that way.
I just don't know what to believe anymore in this, because, yes, nobody does that, but it would seem that they actually did it. Because they said that the Blu-ray transfers are made from the negative, and they already include all the special edition scenes, which you can clearly see are actually scanned from film. They have some film blemishes here and there, even the CGI scenes. So they were scanned from the same film as the rest of it. And if it's actually true that this transfer was done from the original negative, then they must have actually recut the original negative, which is crazy. But
and then they could have even disposed of the old original effects?
Yes, that's possible.
Threw them in the bin?
That's quite possible. Although the Lucasfilm archives are huge and they archive everything. So it's quite probable that even if they recut the original negative print, they possibly could have kept the pieces they cut out in storage somewhere.
Right. So you're sort of standing on the shoulders of countless fans across the world whose mission has been to just get these original films before us on home video.
Yes.
And you yourself have then spent presumably countless hours in front of a computer.
Yes, hundreds.
Putting together all sorts of source materials.
Yes. So the way I work is I take the special edition HD footage and I replace not only the whole scenes because the materials available for the original are such poor quality that you can't just put them inside an HD video and not make it look completely jarring.
Because it would be blurry, it's lesser resolution.
Yes, yes, yes. So I actually, in many cases, I actually used special effects software to paint out the changes they made. And it's a technique called rotoscoping, where you sort of paint around an object and paint it out of the background. And I jokingly called the process of painting out the changes made to Star Wars rotoscoping.
And of course, your edition is called the de-specialized edition as well.
Yes,
quite sort of pointed name for the, yeah.
In the special edition, they added digital dinosaurs, they called rontos, into the original film. And because they were called rontos and the technique is called rotoscoping, I jokingly call it rontoscoping.
Petr Harmáček has put together a video published on YouTube detailing his extraordinarily painstaking and laborious despecializing restoration efforts, conducted via assistance from a like-minded global network of Star Wars devotees. Here is a clip.
A scan of the first part of the Mos Eisley scene from an actual low-fade LPP 35mm print. Done on a home-built scanner by a group of dedicated fans called Team Negative One. The print, while in a fairly good condition, still had too much grain and dirt to fit alongside the Blu-ray footage, which was scanned from the original negative. So first, an automated cleanup was performed in Avacynth by another OriginalTrilogy.com member, who calls himself Laserschwert. Then, the footage was further enhanced and color-corrected, especially where the entirety of the frame had to be replaced, but also where only elements from the scan were used to cover up the special edition changes.
Astonishingly, Harmáček and fellow Original Trilogy enthusiasts also claim that the existing high-definition home video releases of the altered special editions have major technical flaws, including poor color correction.
Absolutely. The entire technical execution of these official releases is very bad.
But how is that possible?
Over, I don't know.
I mean, it's their product. Mm-hmm. It's basically they make money from
yes,
this.
And there's a lot of people who are behind George Lucas on this, even fans. And they would say that maybe this is what the film is supposed to look like. But when you know anything about this kind of thing, about color grading, you can clearly see that there are technical errors there. It's not about specific color grading. There are technical errors. Plus, there is clear proof that this is not what the film looked like originally, because there are people who have non-faded original 35mm prints of the film.
So tell me about that, because for your restoration effort, you haven't just upgraded DVD material
yes.
from this poor quality release that you mentioned. You've also been able to source film prints as well. So where did you get them from, and how did you go about using them?
Actually, for the first version I made, I only had the DVDs. But then some people, and actually owning a 35mm film print is sort of a gray area legally.
So, can you explain that? How come? Because it's the property of the studio, technically?
I guess so. It depends on different legislation in different countries, but I think in America you can't legally own a 35mm print of a film, which is why all the collectors are... But this law is kind of nonsensical, because it happened many times that they wanted to restore some film and the materials they had in the vault were so deteriorated they couldn't restore it. And some collector saved the day because they had a perfectly stored print of that film. And this could very well end up being the case with Star Wars as well, if indeed they actually destroyed the original negative.
Well, that's because I've also read that Lucas is actually quite, you know, content to have that happen, to have all these copies destroyed. So therefore, collectors and people that have these copies are not even officially volunteering that they have them for fear that they could be seized. So there's like a secret now society of people who hold on.
Exactly. But as technology evolves and it gets cheaper, some people were actually able to buy scanners, or actually built the group that I worked with, they actually built their own HD film scanner from like a camera and an old film projector. And they obtained somehow, I don't even know how exactly, but they obtained some non-faded 35mm prints. And the prints, as far as I know, weren't complete. They were just bits, so that's what I was able to get.
Right.
But they helped a lot, because those were some of the most difficult to remove changes using other means, but now I had an actual HD footage, which I had to still sort of combine with the Blu-ray to make it fit inside. The result is basically perfect HD restoration of the scene, so I'm very happy about that.
So there's one obvious question that I have to ask in all of this. Obviously, people will know that this isn't your property.
Yes.
And you are releasing it, like, into the... Basically, it's an act of copyright piracy that you're doing.
So what is
the position on that? Or is there some sort of restoration clause in the law that is applicable here?
I sort of expected this question, of course. Well, the thing is, the whole fan restoration and fan edit community has been doing this for quite a while.
Because there's a website called Original Trilogy, right?
Yes, and there are countless other efforts to preserve Star Wars in its original state. But the thing is, I realize this is definitely a legally gray area. But what the point of copyright is to protect the financial interests of the copyright owner. And I am completely convinced that 99% of people who download my restorations already own the official versions anyway. So the studio isn't losing any money over this at all, or if, then like peanuts.
And there hasn't been any official reaction to what you've been doing? No,
luckily.
Okay, and let me ask you a last question. So tell me about yourself. Are you involved in the film and the video industry at all professionally?
No, not at all. No, I'm an ESL teacher.
What's ESL?
English as a second language.
Oh, I see. Yes.
So I teach English at a language school, which is what I studied. I studied English teaching at the pedagogical faculty in Pilsen. And yeah, I have no professional background in film editing. I started playing with Photoshop in high school, and then I sort of progressed towards moving images, and it's just a hobby.
And would you like to work in the industry?
I guess, like, if I was offered a job, I definitely wouldn't refuse it. I'd love to, actually. Yeah, it's kind of difficult here in the Czech Republic. There aren't many, especially in Pilsen, there aren't many companies that do this kind of thing.
Maybe one day you'll do what George Lucas did and make your own film.
Maybe.
And then not change it.
Yeah, or if I were to change it, which, as I said, I think that's completely fine, but keep the original version available. It's like a lot of writers actually changed their books, like Tolkien changed Hobbit after he wrote The Lord of the Rings, but you can still read the original version as it was. So that's not a problem from my point of view. Mm-hmm. The problem is the suppression of the original version.
I'm Dominic Yoon, and you've been listening to Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech Radio.